Aggression, our yearly summer pay-per-view. We are live from the beaches of Honolulu, Hawaii, and I have so been enjoying my time here in Hawaii. But tonight, it all comes to a head as some of the greatest superstars and all of Unstoppable will collide. My co-host this evening is a two-time RAWF Hall of Famer. Please welcome...
recognize that I am not alive. I survive, I'm the dance in the hourglass of time. I'm the chalk line, outline, everything is mine. From the bridge to the earth to the shadows fall behind. I'm the stars in the sky and I shine so bright. I'm a turtle, I'm the reason that the day turns night. I'm the water and the sun, I'm the bullet in your gun. I'm the finger on the trigger and I'm about to blast one. I ain't never give a shit, all them bitches better recognize the damn motherfucker on the block. Go and have your 70 slam. Fuck around, beat a neck, hologram. Big dog way off the counter. Don't bother with the cage. Can't keep me like the way I need my face. Going 6 feet deep, where the dead man sleep. With the rats that creep in my flesh for weeks. And I'm making still sleep by the open wounds.
Ladies and gentlemen, the P to the O to the G. He is the paragon of greatness. Good evening, Paragon.
Good evening, Lord Amadeus. We are live from the 55th most populous city in the United States, but with all these fans filtering in for tropical aggression, we may be able to bump that number up into the 40s. I'm telling you, everybody's coming out today.
Indeed, indeed. I'm 55th, really? Wow. That's incredible, considering that we're on an island. So, well, all right, but at any rate, I hope you are having a great time here in Hawaii, Paragon, getting a mask tan. Are you getting tanned at least in the eye holes there?
Tanned in the eye holes, that is a phrase that you have said today, Amadeus.
I don't know. I make it up as I go along, Paragon, as you well know. But we've got an incredible card to discuss tonight. And it all starts out with the main event, the World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Strangleheart defending against Mithras the Title Machine. We know the history between these two is not a good history. As far as it's a pretty tumultuous history. And I think we all know Mithras the Title Machine, his mission tonight to dethrone Strangleheart of that World Heavyweight Championship. So tell me what you see happening tonight when Strangleheart takes on Mithras.
Well, I think that the situation with Strangleheart is that we really need to put a lot more respect on his name than we've been given here a lot in the recent times of the roster. Strangleheart defeated the Immortal Griffith to win that championship, arguably the most accomplished superstar in RAWF history. He defeated the hottest rookie in the company in Eva, and he defeated a stalwart veteran Hall of Famer in his next defense that he finally did accept a challenge when he took on Cougar. So you have to say, at this point, three title wins under his belt, Strangleheart really has a fighting chance that I think a lot of people maybe haven't been giving him in this match. That being said, you can only pull the rabbit out of the hat so many times. If Strangleheart can come out here and beat Mithras the Title Machine after having beaten Griffith, that's going to absolutely shock me. I think that Mithras walks home with the title today, but I think that Strangleheart earns that respect that he should have been getting all along.
But what does it mean for Strangleheart? Does Strangleheart earn the respect if he wins tonight? How does that propel him up as far as respect from other RAWF superstars or even in your mind?
I think that Strangleheart is a polarizing figure. I think that that's been very clear since his arrival in RAWF and has been nothing but highlighted since becoming the world champion. I think that he's going to turn a lot of heads. He's going to change some minds. There are going to be some people that it doesn't matter what he does. Strangleheart is going to remain a figure that they despise. And, you know, some people's minds can't be changed. But I think a lot of the people that are on the fence, the people that are in the middle ground, they don't know what to think because of the things that they've heard on either side, are going to have a lot of new impressions about Strangleheart. If he can go out and defeat Mithras the Title Machine, I think that he has an opportunity to win a lot of respect, win, lose, or draw in this match. If he can hold his own with Mithras the Title Machine, it's going to be huge. If he can beat Mithras the Title Machine, it could be colossal.
So tonight is kind of about two people, because Mithras the Title Machine, not only is he challenging for the world title, he's in three other title matches, defending his Platinum Dragon Championship, challenging for the men's championship and then also defending the White Lightning championship. So overall, what do you expect? Which titles do you expect Mithras to walk away with tonight, and which ones do you think he may not? You need me to remind you who the opponents are in each match?
Yeah, actually, I need to know the White Lightning opponent.
The White Lightning opponent is Cougar.
Okay, it is Cougar. That is okay. If that was indeed Cougar, which is what I had thought, then I think that there's going to be a huge surprising prediction here. I think Mithras the Tidal Machine walks out of Tropical Aggression 1-3. I think that he does beat Strangleheart for that world championship. But I think that Hobo Ezekiel is walking out the Platinum Dragon champion, and I think Cougar is walking out the White Lightning champion. Mithras is always an expert at these multi-title defense pay-per-views. He's one of the most well-conditioned and accomplished superstars in RAWF. But this is not just a world title match for Mithras. For the first time in a long time, this match is personal. And I think that this isn't just a situation of stretching himself too thin. I think that this is a situation where Mithras, he probably wouldn't admit it, and nor should he because he is a professional. But going in tonight, there is one match that matters to Mithras, and I think that it's going to show in the results.
Now, are you including that men's championship? He's also challenging STB for that. Are you saying one for four? Okay.
1-4, yes. The STB... My apologies to STB. I got caught up in the getting confused over the White Lightning situation with Cougar. Yes, STB also, as we've seen, STB, he's, what, number two in the rankings? They're very close up there. Yes, he's had all of the momentum going on this month. He's just recently been the world heavyweight champion. Simply the Best has proven on a number of occasions that he can hang with the best. And again, Mithras has a sole focus tonight, and that's going to be the ball game for him.
All right, so you predict Mithras the Tidal Machine to walk out as the World Heavyweight Championship champion, but that's the only belt he leaves tonight. Leaves Tropical Aggression with. Interesting. And I kind of agree with you on STB because he's going to be motivated not only to keep his title, but to keep his number two ranking and stay in that World Heavyweight Contendership chase, which brings us to the national championship, where you are challenging Denzel the Giant, and not only is the national title on the line there, so is possibly your number one standing and a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship as well. We mentioned this last night. We talked about it at length. To be honest, I think tonight may be your night that you will beat Denzel, not just because you want the national title, but because you want to get back into that World Heavyweight Championship picture. So if you would, anything you have to say before that match tonight?
Denzel the Giant, obviously a ball of momentum, Xanthor the Platinum Dragon winner, national champion. He is a runaway freight train right now, but tonight you can call me Saban Figaro because I'm about to suplex that motherfucking train right off the tracks.
All right, it is going to be a big one there in that national title match, no doubt about it. Did you learn anything from the first encounter that you believe will help you in the second encounter?
I definitely learned something. I don't know how helpful it will be. I learned that Denzel the Giant, he hits pretty hard. You get knocked pretty loopy by that guy.
All right, well, that is our national championship match tonight. Denzel the Giant defending against the Paragon of Greatness. Paragon, just a little extra to fight for besides that national title. Midnight Hobo Championship. It is Blake Bradley defending against Joe Boo. Now, if you've been keeping up with the story, Joe Boo and Blake faced off in a Midnight Hobo Contendership match last month that Blake won. Joe Boo contends he let him win so that he could win the Midnight Hobo Championship from D's at Philadelphia Freedom. Now Joe Boo is his challenger for the Midnight Hobo Championship. As we can tell, Blake is getting pretty close to being a member of the necessary evil. But do you think this is a, how you say, a membership match, if you will?
It very well could, Amadeus. The Necessary Evil have demonstrated in the past that they very much have a game that they are playing at, and that there is a guidelines, there are rules, there is a structure to what they do, and a lot of that involves service to their team and making sacrifices that they maybe wouldn't otherwise have done. I think that Blake Bradley is the better wrestler. I think that if they go into this match, skill versus skill, in a straight-up match, Blake Bradley wins. But I do think that we have to be looking out for the Necessary Evil's shadow looming over this match, because there absolutely could be some shenanigans involved. There could be a finger poke of doom situation happening. And I just hope that they're able to go out there and do the right thing, do this match the correct way, and don't disappoint the fans here in Honolulu.
We find out tonight whether that is the case or not. Uber Vegan TPO, the grizzly veteran, taking on Eva, who's barely a year into her RAWF career. She has won a title or two, but she has never been in a FUBAR City Championship situation. How do you see the young and mysterious Eva faring against the veteran TPO when there are no rules?
It's always the crazy ones that seem to be very good at hardcore situations. I gotta say, I've never seen Eva in this type of match, but it does seem like it's very likely to be her element. With that said, I've been calling the Uber Vegan the FUBAR Vegan for a while, and he's continued to earn that title over and over, showing that maybe you don't have to be all baddie to be the hardcore established type of wrestler. The pure one has gone out and taken care of business consistently and efficiently. I think that it's going to be a tough night for Eva. If pressed, I'm going to have to say that Uber Vegan is going to defend that championship tonight. But once again, Eva's probably going to make some sort of memorable mark, because that lady's scary.
All right. Tag Team Championship will be on the line as Swords and Scimitars, the longest reigning tag team champions in RAWF history, go up against the two-time Hall of Fame Tag Team Champions, Dungeons and Dragons, which of course is yourself and Knox Boogie. A little bit of history on the line. Not only do you and Knox have an opportunity to end the longest reign in tag team RAWF tag team history, you have the chance to become the first time ever five-time RAWF tag team champions. Right now you are tied with Apex as four-time tag team champions. A win tonight over Swords and Scimitars gives you the record at five and ends the longest streak of RAWF tag team championship history. So talk to me about facing Swords and Scimitars last night, or you mentioned a lot last night. What are your final thoughts before this ginormous encounter tonight?
It's impossible for me to be objective in the projections of this match. I couldn't possibly make a prediction given the absolute talent of Swords and Scimitars, regardless of my personal feelings about the two. And ooh, we have gone at length about the things that I've had to say about Claymore and Teflon Chic, for that matter. I cannot deny that they are, at this moment, the best tag team in wrestling. Dungeons and Dragons were there when Apex fell, and they are going to be there when Swords and Scimitars falls, and they will be there when the next team falls. Dungeons and Dragons is not a passing phase. They're not just a tag team of the moment. Dungeons and Dragons are forever. And tonight is going to be the night that they establish the new record that will probably never be broken from this point on.
It would definitely be difficult for anyone to match five tag team championships. The history of the tag team titles here at Tropical Aggression is actually a very interesting one, and we'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about Tropical Aggression history. But I am so much looking forward to that, and I do wish you and Knox the best of luck in dethroning Swords and Scimitars. We shall see. We mentioned STB defending the men's championship against Mithras, the title machine. I think we both agree that STB has definitely a lot more on the line than the men's championship here as he tries to get himself back into the world title picture against a man who has got three other matches to worry about. And I think we both agree STB the slight edge over Mithras tonight, quite possibly. The Estrogen Championship, the lovely Maeve O'Hare, the first class last, defending against the First Lady of Anarchy, the Cougar. I mentioned there were two people in front and center tonight, one of them being Mithras, the other one being Cougs. And this is the first of her three big matches tonight, facing Maeve for the Estrogen Championship. Cougar, one of the most decorated Estrogen Champions in RAWF history. Maeve, of course, winning an epic three-way battle last month at Philadelphia Freedom between her, Cougs, and Tigress. Does the fact she's only facing Cougs in this matchup give her a better chance of winning than last month, or is the fact that Cougs is kind of in a sort of, well, say mildly, a mood right now, give the wily veteran the edge?
Honestly, looking up and down this card, I think that this matchup not only has the potential to steal the show, this is the hardest to predict match on the entire card. We know from years of observation just how effective Cougar can be when she's motivated and when she's angry. She just lost the big opportunity. She lost the world title opportunity as well. These types of things could deflate a normal wrestler. But these are the kind of things that will always motivate somebody like Cougar, will make them stronger, faster, more capable of winning matches. With that said, Maeve O'Hare has this level of confidence that I haven't seen in her for a while. Like, she's calling out the world champion on a weekly basis. She gets called out into this triple threat situation. She doesn't bat an eye. She takes that opportunity. She beats two of the best in the division handily, winning her match, becoming established very quickly as a potential long run champion. You know what I mean? Like, we saw that Midnight Hobo streak between the two runs. It was something, what, like 500 days? I think that we could be starting the age of Maeve and the Estrogen Championship. I'm predicting Maeve O'Hare wins and that she's going to potentially still be holding that belt come Tropical Aggression 2023.
Well, that's quite possible. Very quite possible, the way she's been going. A fun fact about Maeve. 2 years ago at Tropical Aggression, she lost to Mithras, the title machine, in a world title championship match. 2 months later, she won the Midnight Hobo Championship. In the last, in the last 22 months, she has held two titles, the Midnight Hobo, the Hatfield McCoy, and the Estrogen, three titles, sorry, and is a total 26-3 in title defenses overall, which is an incredible stat when you come to think about it. So, it is definitely going to be an interesting match. As you said, Cougar is extremely motivated at the moment, or at least appears to be extremely motivated. We will see what happens when those two square off. Triple Crown Championship, the Immortal Griffith, the Unsettled Chris Cage, and Diesel Warrior. We all know that Griffith has been kind of cruising through the summer, his quote-unquote vacation. However, he was cruising at Philadelphia Freedom when it was Chris Cage I can't remember who the third, if he's still cruising, does he get past this one as well on his Chris Cage NDW?
I think he does, and I think that the reason is because cruising to the Immortal Griffith is not the same thing as cruising to everybody else. He holds this company with an incredibly high esteem, a great deal of respect. He believes these titles the most important titles in the business, and he wouldn't disrespect them by going at half speed in a title match. He wouldn't just give up on the company. I think that holding this Triple Crown championship is his way of through some downtime, still holding that connection to the gold of RAWS, still letting everybody know that the Immortal is inevitable and that he's just around the corner at any given time. Griffith on Cruz is still one of the best wrestlers in the world. That being said, I cannot completely disrespect his opponents by saying that this is a no-brainer, because it's not a no-brainer. There's a lot of thought that had to go into this. I think that Chris Cage in particular wants redemption. Chris Cage, I know firsthand, is a piranha that will just keep nipping at you over and over and over. And he is relentless. I think that Chris Cage does not take the fall tonight, but I do think that the Immortal Griffith retains.
And let's not completely rule out DW as well. One of the most consistent performers we've had over the last couple of years here in RAW. She'll get to contender match or get to a title match, and you know, it won't happen for her for whatever reason. One of these days, that dam's going to break, and I do believe DW will certainly be holding gold. And tonight, I think she may have that. There is a possibility she may surprise Chris Cage and the Immortal Griffith.
Oh, absolutely. I like I said, I do not mean to disrespect either opponent of the Immortal Griffith. DW has accomplished a lot. I think the DW is, you're absolutely right, the bubble is about to burst here on a torrent of success. I mean this in any kind of disparaging way when I say that Chris Cage is not going to take the fall and Immortal Griffith will be pinning DW in this match tonight. If anything, I think that that's going to be a sign of respect to DW from the Immortal Griffith. He's going to make sure to take care of the opponent that he knows has the best chance of sneaking away with this one.
All right, the multimedia championship will be online, and I kind of am looking at this, and I realize, well, Teflon Sheik also has a big night, not only defending the tag team titles, but he is defending the multimedia championship against the First Lady of Anarchy, the Cougar, and he's challenging Dev for the Powerball championship. So let's talk about the first one, Teflon Sheik and the Cougar for the multimedia championship. We just talked about how motivated Cougs is, and we know what kind of ego the Teflon Sheik has. Is he's in for? I think he might be in for a rough time when he takes on the Cougar. Agree or disagree?
Sorry. Sometimes you get bothered by Knox Boogie when you're trying to do live radio. I think that Teflon Sheik, while he is a constant thorn in everybody's side, a very ever-present voice in RAWF, and in fact, I would go as far as to say one of the faces of the company. Unfortunately, I do not think that he is either invested or particularly lucky when it comes to gold situations. I think that other than the tag team championship, Teflon Sheik is happy to make a spectacle of himself and doesn't need championships to prove anything. And I think that he knows that. That's why we don't see a huge track record on gold with him. And because of that, I think that Cougar, with all of the motivation that she's had, this is going to be her match at this pay-per-view. I think Cougar walks away with the championship, and I think that it's going to be one of those moments that people are going to remember when they come home from Hawaii, come home from their vacation. They tell their family, I was there when I got to watch Teflon Sheik get beaten by Cougar. It was the best moment of the night for me to see that guy get pinned on the ring by one of the crowd favorites here in RAWS.
What about Sheik taking on Dev for the Powerball Championship? You think he's just as much in trouble there as in the multimedia title match?
I absolutely think that he is in just as much trouble. Dev, they've been a Hall of – I mean, they are a Hall of Famer. They're one of the consistent tag teams that has to go up against Swords and Scimitars pretty regularly. I think there's a lot of scouting, a lot of familiarity in that situation. If pressed, I think that Teflon Sheik's walking out with the Powerball Championship in that situation, though. I don't mean that in any negative way towards Dev. Dev, a longtime friend of mine. I would love to see Dev pull off that victory. I just don't see it tonight.
All right. So we mentioned Mithras and Cougs. Big night. They square off against each other with White Lightning Championship. You believe, and we kind of hinted, we think Cougs will win that match just because Mithras will be distracted and his focus will be more on that world title match. So I think we both agree that it may be to Cougs' favor tonight in the White Lightning title match. We have the Hatfield-McCoy Championship, Chris Cage versus Joe Boo. Two definitely, I don't want to say polarizing, but interesting individuals squaring off for that championship. Talk to me about who you think wins that one.
I think that championship match is going to depend heavily on where it lands on the card. If Joe Boo picks up his other title win before the Hatfield and McCoy championship match, then Chris Cage is going to win that match. If not, I think that the Necessary Evil is going to do everything they can, create every distraction at ringside to try to walk away with the Hatfield-McCoy Championship. They would love to see a situation where perhaps, and this could retroactively change my opinion going into that Blake Bradley and Joe Boo match. If Blake Bradley is to beat Joe Boo, and Joe Boo is to win this Hatfield-McCoy Championship, Swords and Scimitars naturally are going to assume a win for themselves. The tag team championship, Sheik is naturally going to assume his defenses of the in the Powerball and the multimedia championship. The amount of gold that could be sitting in the Necessary Evil's corner if they play it right is something that would be very tempting to them. The question is, are they thinking that far ahead, or are they more concerned with getting the championships to the hierarchy? Are they wanting Joe Boo, the established member, to have that championship, maybe have two, have Teflon Sheik with multiple championships, have the good man, the face of the team, with the Swords and Scimitars Tag Team Championship, and then initiate Blake Bradley, ask him, you have to go out there and win a championship, not from one of us. I think that there are a lot of questions to be asked, and that's the thing about the Necessary Evil. It's hard to read what they're doing. It's hard to read what's going on in their minds. They always have a lot of strings going on that they're pulling, and you never quite know. In a straight-up vacuum, I think Chris Cage wins this match. But I don't know if that necessarily holds up, if Necessary Evil wants to stretch championships to everybody, including Blake Bradley.
All right, the final title match to discuss is the Champions Choice Championship, Judgment versus Vex. Vex can only use a certain limited amount of moves that begin with E and I. She can use a one block move defense in the match. Did Judge give away maybe a little too much? Or does Vex have the typical Champions Choice challenger opportunity? None.
There is a far greater than none situation here. I mean, I've got to give credit to Lady Vex. She is a very clever performer, and in fact, we saw that just last night on After Hours. There was a stipulation set. It should have been, in theory, set in stone, and Vex, using her mind, was able to convince Judgment to give her defense in this match, something that she did not have before that. That's the kind of thing that Lady Vex is able to do. That's the reason why she is possibly one of the better candidates for the Champions Choice division. She's clever. She knows how to get the best out of a situation. And poor Judgment out there. He's going to be playing checkers. She's going to be playing chess. It's a situation where Judge is still the favorite, but I think it's more like a 55-45 situation, which is not good odds for the Champions Choice champion.
All right, that's fair. That is fair. We will see. If you're right. You're right. If anyone can take advantage of the situation, and it will be Lady Vex. Other matches tonight, we'll just quickly run down. Beach Ring of Fire match between myself and Aaron McFadden. A Honolulu Beach Brawl between Hotshot Chaz and a Hot Cheese, the Battle of the Hots. Fubar City Street Fight between the returning Ally Knight and Miss Beauty Fatale. A Tag Team Challenge match. It was the Opaque Brotherhood taking on AF James and a mystery partner, but earlier in the night, that mystery partner was revealed to be Lady Vex herself. So quickly, Paragon, I'll let you address this. How did do you have any idea how Killa and Uncle Frank took the news that it would be Vex joining AF James in their Tag Team Challenge match?
I don't know, because I'm not talking to them. They ruined catering at Superstars last week, and I hadn't gotten any food yet. I'm very upset that they threw AF James through that catering table.
Yes, they did do that. You're right. Yeah, that was a mess. And Well, at any rate, it is now Lady Vex and AF James taking on the O Big Brotherhood in a Tag Team Challenge match. Another challenge match, El Vacant taking on the man who he loves to say his name, but apparently not so much in the ring, El Vacant versus Beast. Another challenge match between Psy and the returning Moxie, and Claymore taking on Revenge Gibson. Those all and many more matches tonight at Tropical Aggression. Whew. I mean, top to bottom, I think that's a pretty, it's one of the most solid cards we've had in a long time, Paragon, and you're right. It definitely has a different flavor than recent pay-per-views, so. All right, real quick, I wanted to bring up something, an announcement from Wrestler Unstoppable. If you haven't seen it on Facebook, there is a scheduled outage overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning. Wrestler Unstoppable will not be accessible. That outage just starts sometime tonight and into tomorrow morning, but they don't expect it to be a very long one. So, but it's a scheduled outage, so maybe some upgrades or some updates. Who knows? All right. With that being said, let's see here. Oh, Paragon. Earlier, right before the show, I handed you a piece of paper, sir, and I know you were excited about it. What you have in your hand, sir, are, I believe, the first six rankings periods of this year, the overall rankings for the calendar year of 2022, and would you like to announce those? Would you like to read those off tonight?
I mean, you know that I love me some stats. I absolutely would.
All right, sir.
All right. Well, at the halfway mark of the year, 6 months in, we have had in our 25th place, Liam O'Shaughnessy, coming in at number 24, the Uber Vegan TPO. Coming in at number 23, we have Dev. Coming in at number 22, we have the Cougar. At 21, it is Money Sue. At 20, the Dolahan Marcus Conan. At number 19, our current world heavyweight champion, Strangleheart. At number 18, Starlight. At number 17, Blake Bradley. At number 16, the Teflon Sheik. At number 15, Kane the Governor. Number 14, the Unsettled, Chris Cage. At number 13, Maeve O'Hare. At number 12, Jobu. At number 11, Hobo Ezekiel. And starting off our top 10, we have Eva. At number 9, we have the national champion Denzel the Giant. At number 8, we have DW, Diesel Warrior. At number 7, we have Deez. At number 6, the good man Claymore. At number 5, the immortal Griffith. At number 4, we have Simply the Best. At number 3, we have Tigress. At number 2, we have Paragon of Greatness. And number one, as we would probably expect, as he was last year and maybe the year before that, we have Mithras the Title Machine.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, when you look over on the right to the columns to the right, three times at number one for Mithras the Title Machine, and he's been in the top 10 all six rankings periods, been in the top 25 all six rankings periods, the only one on that list to do that. You in second place, one time at number one, five times in the top 10, six times in the top 25. Oh, it doesn't also help for Mithras that he's won two extra points tournaments. Yeah, Mithras is a rankings point machine, not just a title machine, but a rankings point machine at this point. But with that being said, Paragon, guess who we get to talk to now?
Who do we get to talk to, LA?
Our reigning world heavyweight champion is here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. Gentlemen, tonight he defends the World Heavyweight Championship against Mithras the Title Machine. There's no love lost between these two. Strangleheart, good evening, sir.
Well, there's first a couple things I want to get to before we get to that match. Sorry for not calling in last night. I think it was Judgment reading the top 25 last night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I fell asleep 10 minutes into that. I was closing off on my couch.
Okay. Well, that's understandable, I suppose. So,
I've been seeing Paragon over there. How are you tonight, Paragon?
I'm doing well, Strangleheart. Glad to have you here at the show.
Thanks. I see you said you're more of a stat guy than anything, and you know I'm a stat guy a bit myself, and I think the WU universe has spoken when they say they wish the creator would have put in head-to-head stats like in 1.0. That would have gave you more storylining and all that, right?
Yeah, it definitely would have been nice. There's a lot of things that the original creators could have done to make Unstoppable a little bit better. But, you know, unfortunately, Unstoppable is what it is. We work with what we got. And so I've been trying to make up for that by keeping some stuff, but
like make respect to the GMs that do that, right? Like, and I've said that too at the same time.
Exactly. So, Strangleheart, before we do talk about the match with Mithras, I want to go back a couple years at Tropical Aggression, where you, before you won the world title a couple months ago, the biggest win in your IWF career was in 2019, right here in Tropical Aggression, when you defeated Uncle Frank to end the longest FUBAR City reign in RAWF history. Nobody expected you to win that match going into it because a lot of people didn't see you as a hardcore wrestler. You proved us all wrong 2 years ago today. Now you hear a lot of people predicting Mithras to run over you tonight, win the world title. Can you prove them wrong again?
I can prove them wrong without a doubt. I'm not afraid of Mithras. I've lived the star life for about 4 years in RAWF now, maybe. 2 years, 3 years, closer to two or three maybe. And that's it, right? Like, I know how to be the champion in RAWS. People might not think I might not be able to, but that's their mistake for feeling that way.
And of course, oh, go ahead.
I'm worried if I lose, I'm going to be a sore loser, because I'm not going to be, because I don't fold when I say things like, any given Sunday, anybody can win. So
I think
what to tell you.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, there's a storied history between you and Mithras, and it's definitely not good, a good history. The two of you don't see eye to eye on a lot of things from what I hear, but obviously, a win over Mithras tonight. You beat Griff for the title, as Paragon said. A win over Mithras tonight, you'll then have won four straight world title matches against four of the best RAWF has to offer. Do you think that might gain you a little bit more respect if you can manage to do that tonight?
I think it might. I mean, but at the same time, if I get more respect, people will be coming at me harder and faster. So it's kind of a no-win situation. They will see me as an even bigger target. That mother bleeper beat Mithras. I'm going to outshine Mithras and beat him on my principles or whatever they might be thinking. So it's even a bigger target on my part.
Well, just being RAWF world champion makes you one of the biggest targets in all of Unstoppable anyways. But as you said, that, you know, maybe that will, if you do meet Mithras tonight, that target's not going to get much smaller. You're absolutely right about that. But any final words for Mithras tonight before the big matchup?
Well, balls in your court, and I took my first combo attempt. Stepped out of my figure four. After that, I was going to go nuts and maybe do two more moves after a fatigue boost. Other than that, that's about it. That's all the trash talk I'll be giving you, most likely.
Paragon, any questions for the World Heavyweight Champion?
I mean, earlier I said that people need to put a little bit more respect on your name. The Immortal Griffith is not going to give away a world championship match. You beat him. People said that you got lucky in your match with Eva. People said you got lucky in your match with Cougar. But luck is a myth. You make your own luck. So my question to you is, going into this match with Mithras, should you be able to walk away with that championship? What is your response going to be to the people who will inevitably say that you're lucky again?
I don't know. I mean, I'll show them my USL stable finals match I beat Mithras in 2 years ago. Right? Besides the prestigious world title, USL finals is the most prestigious thing in WU. I've done it under pressure before, and I can do it again, and apparently that's what I'm going to be doing if I show people that match and have to discuss those things.
Well,
I like it. Bringing up stats.
There you go. The stat man brings out the stats to the other stat man. I like it. All right, Strangleheart. Well, good luck to you tonight against Mithras. Was there anything else you had to discuss tonight?
No, that's about it.
All right. Well, good luck tonight. We find out if you can indeed retain the World Heavyweight Championship and move on to Cataclysm. Defend against whoever wins a world title contender match then. So, till then,
yeah, well,
good luck.
No, I'm fourth in points, and I'm doing well in points. And if I win this match, I might be able to get pick my opponent or something, right?
No, sir. That's not how it works. So let me explain to you. If you were to win number one or even number two, that's not how that works. You did not get to pick your own opponent. That works in
you
some other division. No, I'm afraid not. Let's say you finish number one, then number two and three will go into a world contender match. That is the way.
I get to reach for the privilege of finishing first.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. You finishing first as World Heavyweight Champion, that actually makes you look better, to be honest with you, because it means, you know, you're not just a sit-back-and-watch kind of champion. You're a guy that likes to fight even when the title's not on the line. So that in itself would be a huge boost to your reputation here in RIWF, in my opinion. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Strangleheart.
Okay, good everybody. Thanks for the plane fare.
enjoy Hawaii too while you're here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the RAWF World Heavyweight Champion. He was Strangleheart, and I Paragon. When we talk about Strangleheart, you know, he does talk a lot of shit. There's no doubt about it. But you know, I think he's earned the right to talk at least a little bit of shit. Don't you think?
Absolutely. You got to love the confidence, and I think that the confidence is earned. His personality may be polarizing. I think a lot of people are cross about Strangleheart, and from some observations, that may be justifiable. But I think that it's hard to deny what he can do in the ring. I mean, I'm sticking with my prediction tonight. I'm holding true to my guns. I think Mithras the Title Machine's walking away with that championship. But like I said, I think Strangleheart's going to turn a lot of heads one way or another, and he's going to earn a lot of respect.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of things to mention now that we got that. Cataclysm will be coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia on September 18th. That will be our next pay-per-view, Cataclysm, live from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. There will be no RAWF After Hours next weekend. So you all get the weekend off. There will be a superstar, so you don't get the weekend off, but you don't have, you know, there will be no radio show next Saturday night. We will return, of course, the following week, where I will defend the After Hours title against an opponent chosen by the championship committee. So feel free, folks, to drop in that night if you want an opportunity at my After Hours championship. All right. Let's see here. So let's talk about some tropical aggression history, Paragon. It is quite the history, I have to say. The first tropical aggression was in 2015 on August 6th, live right here from Honolulu. As a matter of fact, three tropical aggressions have been from here in Honolulu. It's one of our favorite spots to do this pay-per-view in. The very first one was the only RAWF pay-per-view to have two world title matches on it. It was the initial match was Ricky Hot Rock defending the World Heavyweight Championship against the Immortal Griffith. But then in an impromptu challenge, Ricky Hot Rock decided to accept a second challenge to that title on that night, and he lost it to Mordred Nightwalker. So the only RAWF pay-per-view to have two world title matches on it was the very first Tropical Aggression. Also on that card, Money Sue defeated Rattlesnake Ron to win the Platinum Dragon Championship. One of the reasons Money Sue is a RAWF Hall of Famer. Never an easy thing to do to beat Rattlesnake Ron for a championship. In 2016, we were at the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas. It was one of two Tropical Aggression pay-per-views we had at the Atlantis Resort. The main event that night was Mordred Nightwalker defeating Killer Neptune to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. And the other mentionable match that night, Money Sue, another victory over the Immortal Griffith to win the Men's Championship. Another easy thing to do to beat Griffith for a championship, as you well know, Paragon. So the first two tropical aggressions were definitely successful for Money Sue. Go ahead.
I was just saying absolutely to the Griffith comment.
Well, and I say that because at the third tropical aggression, this one in Tijuana, Mexico, in 2017, Griffith defeated Mordred Nightwalker to win the World Heavyweight Championship. But that was also one of the many nights that the immortal greatness happened, you versus Griffith for a championship. This time it was the men's championship, and the immortal Griffith defeated you to retain the belt that night. That was a big night for the Immortal Griffith, to be honest with you. He defeated Morgan to win the world title. He retained the Platinum Dragon against Dev and defeated you to retain the men's championship. One of the Immortal Griffith's best performances, and that's saying something considering he's had many of them. Another interesting match that night, there was a handicap match, and we mentioned El Vacant's competing tonight. This is not the first Tropical Aggression that El Vacant has actually competed on. On that night, Judgment took on El Vacant and Terrell the Truth Johnson in a handicap match, and, well, he got spanked. Let's just call it what it was. He got trounced by El Vacant and Terrell the Truth Johnson. And the other notable match that night, a Jello bikini match between Raven the Enchanted and Bubs, two RAWF Hall of Fame ladies. In 2018, this one, the second at the Atlantis Resort, your tag team partner and good friend Knox Boogie defeated Jack Bayou to retain the World Heavyweight Championship and probably one of the most disappointing main events in RAWF history. We're still trying to figure out to this day how the heck Jack Bayou got into the world title picture, but Knox Boogie had an easy time with Mr. Bayou that night. However, that night it was you and Griffith once again, this time for the Platinum Dragon Championship. Griff won again. I'm not trolling you, just pointing out facts.
The road to modern RAWF is littered with Paragon of Greatness eating defeats from the Immortal Griffith.
On that night, also, the national championship was on the line. Hobo Ezekiel, and I believe this was his first title defense after winning the national title in his very first RAWF championship, that defeated your boy Blaze McCoy to retain the national title. It was also an incredible FUBAR City championship match between Uncle Frank and Vex. Champion's Choice, this again, El Vacant competed for the Champion's Choice a championship for the only time in his career at Tropical Aggression against Money Sue. Money Sue retained that night. And then it was not all bad news for you on that night, as you and Knox Boogie, Dungeons and Dragons, defeated the Aussie Vegemites that night to win the tag team championships. So, as I mentioned earlier, the tag team championship have an interesting history at Tropical Aggression, that being one of them. You remember beating the Aussie Vegemites that night to win the titles?
It's hard to remember maybe specific matches. I remember the Aussie Vegemites during their time. The amount of scouting that you'd have to do for the tag team division. I remember exactly the kind of patterns and strategies you do. That kind of thing gets burned into your head. I could go and have a match with the Aussie Vegemites today, and I would still be able to step right back into that ring with that memory.
All right. In 2019, we were back here in Honolulu. The main event was Uncle Frank taking on the Immortal Griffith for the World Heavyweight Championship. Frank was the champion, and that night he retained the title against the Immortal Griffith. When Frank was champion, he defeated you to win the title. And then he defended it for several months, including against Griffith at Tropical Aggression. Uncle Frank, at that time, was the most dominant wrestlers in RAWF. Do you think we'll ever see a return to that Uncle Frank?
Nobody would love to see the return of Frankomania running wild in RAWF than me. I don't know if those times are coming again, but we did see AF James piss off Uncle Frank this last month, and I think that Killin' Neptune said it best when he was like, you shouldn't have woken up the monster. So maybe.
Maybe. On that night, the Immortal Griffith successfully defended the Platinum Dragon Championship against the Great Red Dragon. There's a man we don't get to talk about very often, but I think we all agree that we kind of miss that man. And that was, of course, also the night Strangleheart defeated Uncle Frank to end the longest reigning FUBAR City Championship reign. But my favorite match of that night, would you like to know what my favorite match of that night was?
What was your favorite match, LA?
It was the Tag Team Championship that night. You remember you remember this match at all? You and Knox were the champions, Dungeons and Dragons. You were defeated by this team called the Executive Order.
Oh. Mm. Had to bring that one up, huh?
Yeah, that one was a troll.
Yeah, it was a Mithras and some scrub, right?
Exactly. Hey,
okay.
I'm going to brag about that because it's one of the very few times I've ever beaten you for anything of any significance. I'm thinking I'm 0-52 against you in tournament matches, so let me have this.
Hashtag dream killer.
Exactly. All right. In 2020, we were in Cancun, Mexico. Mithras defeated Maeve to retain the World Heavyweight Championship that night. He also defeated you, Paragon, to retain the Platinum Dragon Championship. This is the Great Red Dragon, however, won his first ever RAWF Championship by defeating Hobo Ezekiel to win the national title. And Swords and Scimitars defeated Hotness to win the titles for the very first time 2 years ago in Cancun at Tropical Aggression, which is eerily similar to last year when Swords and Scimitars defeated Hotness to win the titles for the second time. So Tropical Aggression has been very good to Swords and Scimitars, which I'm sure stat-wise, you didn't want to hear that, did you?
You never want to hear something like that, but, you know, I think that they're going to say that the third time's a charm, but, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, we're really motivated.
But last year in 2021, San Jose, Puerto Rico, Griff defeated WW to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Mithras defeated Claymore to retain the Platinum Dragon Championship. Teflon Sheik defeated Maeve to win the Midnight Hobo title and end her 308-day reign. And, as I said, Swords and Scimitars defeated Hotness to win the titles for a second time. And they have held them ever since that night, I should point out. So it has been almost a year, if not a year, now that they've held the World Tag Team Championships. Can Dungeons and Dragons be the ones to end that reign? We find out tonight. All right, so that is our look back at Tropical Aggression over the years. Any favorite memories or not-so-favorite memories, Paragon, of Tropical Aggression? Not necessarily a match that you were involved in, but any match that you remember from those past shows.
You know, I think that Tropical Aggression has kind of snuck under the radar of the RAWF universe. We talk about our Immortals and our Radiversaries. I think that a lot of times we don't realize that there are a lot of special moments that happen at this pay-per-view. It might be something in the air. It might be that summer energy coming in from people. You know, we get a whole new wave of fans, a different type of audience during the summer every year. We've got, you know, people that are able to travel internationally. We've got, people that may otherwise be attending school. We've got some of our younger fans that have more free time. It's a completely different and electric environment every time that we have Tropical Aggression because we never know who is going to show up to watch the show. And that, to me, is something that's always been very special in RAWF, entertaining our fans around the world and getting a chance to entertain a crowd that we do not get to see regularly is something that makes it that much more special.
All right. Well, agreed. But I tell you what, one of my favorite memories from Tropical Aggression was 2 years ago, Champions Choice Championship match. It was Killer Neptune against this lady. She is...
about to
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome RAWF Hall of Famer, the only two-time RAWF female world heavyweight champion. She is Vex. Good evening, Vex.
Good evening, LA. You can't let go of the tail thing, can you?
Let go of the tail? I may or may not have that costume. Never mind. Anyways, I don't wear it. But anyways, no, never mind. Woohoo!
What?
But yes, nothing. That was a great night. I remember that. That was a great night. Great costume. Tonight, another Champions Choice Championship opportunity 2 years later. This one against Judgment. And EIEIO, and obviously you can only use moves that start with those letters, and obviously there's no O moves, but he did concede to you at least one block move defense. Did he give you too much?
No, not at all. Why would Judge give me too much? Me? Judge give me too much? No. I mean, I have a chance, but everyone has a chance, right? Like, Joe Boo could have just watched his clock at his normal time that he's awake, and he would have caught the match. But instead, he just wandered off. Who was it else that just fought Judge for it? They had a chance.
Give me a sec. I gotta bring. Of course, the one spreadsheet I don't have ready.
I'm good at that. I'm really good at you just catching you off guard.
Well, you know, Vex, it's strange to me. I know that you're never going to live down that Mermaid Tail match, but I got to say, you've did an excellent job of making it very memorable amongst all these press tours and TV interviews that we've had to do for Tropical Aggression. One of the questions I have been asked the most is, does Lady Vex still have the Mermaid Tail?
Apparently LA has it. So, you know, I don't have to worry about where I've been keeping that. I have a feeling it's probably in a special place, and I don't need it back.
Last month it was Chris Cage to challenge Judgment, and the month before that it was Joe Boo. And so, yeah,
right.
that Chris Cage had an opportunity, didn't get it done. And so how do you feel? What are your chances to dethrone Judge of that Champions Choice Championship, given what you have to work with?
Anyone can get into Judge's head, it's me. That is something that has been a constant since we met over 10 years ago. From day one, if anyone could get into Judge's head, it was me. And if anyone's assuming that I won't do that, I don't want to make Judge look bad or silly. That's always been my point in RAWF, is to highlight what he does, because he has been a great friend to me. But if I could get a hold of the Champion's Choice belt and I could run it the way I want to run it, we'd have some fun. We would have a whole lot of fun. There'd be people jumping through some hoops to get a chance to pick their own stiffs, but they'd be jumping through some pretty big hoops. And every time they missed a hoop, they would lose a choice. So I can't say for sure I'm going to beat him, because I am limited to like six things I can do. I think I could do more in the fish fins. That mermaid tail isn't easy to walk in, but I most definitely was able to hit Killa with some stronger things than I'm able to hit Judgment with. It's just a matter of fact of whether I'm going to be able to catch him enough. There's a lot more health in this. There's a lot more time in this. And I'm not the same Vex I was 2 years ago. That's something a lot of people haven't come to terms with. I sound the same. I look the same. For the most part, I talk the same. I'm not the same person I was at all. And knowing that, it's a possibility. And if this is the only title that I can get on my resume this run, it's one more ticked off that I've gotten.
Well, you've certainly been full of surprises lately, especially tonight at Tropical Aggression. You were revealed to be the mystery partner of AF James. You were certainly one of the last ones I would have expected to come out with a renegade against Killer Neptune and Uncle Frank. So explain to me what the relationship is here with AF James. Is there something going on that we don't know about, or, you know, did make you an offer you couldn't refuse?
Oh, right. Renegades. You know, I hadn't thought about that. The relationship? Mr. James is a very smart man. He's a company owner like yourself. I think you know him very well. And as for what's coming and why I'm there, like he said, he found his monster. And let's be honest, if someone can hold the monster back, if someone can tame the Tempest, it would be probably be Mr. James.
Interesting. And, of course, you are not only just teaming with him tonight. It was announced that you will be one of the team. You and Mr. James will be going into the tag team division. I believe the team name was Lap of Luxury. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. We decided to enjoy the finer things as we travel. Enjoy the piles of money we've made. Let's be honest, because how many people in RAWF, you know, they like to flex their private jets and they like to flex their private buses. And, oh, yeah, we've got all this. But do they live it the entire time? No, they don't. It's time they saw somebody that actually is going to live it and breathe it and be it. And that's something we can accomplish together. He's brilliant. And he brings that back out of me like very few have been able to do. And I'm having the absolute time of my life right now.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Certainly. And we're going to talk a little bit more here in a few minutes about the tag team division, because I want to, you know, you and Paragon, we can discuss the, because it doesn't get enough love from me sometimes, and I want to talk a little bit more about it, because it definitely, as of late, has been turning some heads. But you do have a rankings match against Starlight tonight, and I'm sure you're going to be keeping an eye on, considering that as of last night you were ranked third, and we were talking about world title contenders, you know, a lapse by either Paragon here or simply the best in their big matches tonight, and a win for you over Starlight could possibly put you up into that top two in a world heavyweight contender match. Have you thought about that at all?
Only a little, since the point of the month where I realized I was 6-1. Yeah, only a little. And, you know, not knowing who's going to be there when it comes to that, I can't really speak too much on it. But I've said it before. At one point, I thought I'd be headed there to slam Sheik's face into the mat once again. Because, you know, throwing him off a scissor lift wasn't quite enough because there was something for him to fall on. But, you know, there's always something for him to fall on. Or I'd be slamming Strangleheart's face into the mat. And that's just fun every time I get to do it, let's be honest. There's the possibility that it might be Mithras. And Mithras and I have had some battles. We have had some fantastic matches. I've come up short as of late, except for in my rankings matches. Tournaments have been rough. Things to go for titles have been rough. Would I be able to last a title match for the world heavyweight title with Mithras, the way I've lasted other matches with him, even just making it to the end of the match, I don't know. But I'm going to try like hell to get there. You're not going to see me back down, and you're not going to see me back down from a contenders match if he is the one holding that belt. I don't believe that I should ever half-ass something in RAWF just because of what I might have to face later on. Midnight Hobo, or not Midnight Hobo, Platinum Dragon battle with Hobo. We went back and forth. We gave it all. We put it all out there in the ring and out of the ring, even knowing I would have to face Mithras. And I'm proud of Hobo for what he's done. Every time he has beat me, we have beat the hell out of each other. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Mithras have a great match. I would like to see that. I think they could put on a great show. And I'm hoping they do. Because if we can do that for the contendership, the title match should be something absolutely mind-blowing.
Absolutely. So good luck to you tonight against Starlight and against Judge and in your tag team match with the Opaque Brotherhood. Interesting night for you indeed. And we will see what happens going forward. Good luck, Vex.
Thank you, LA.
All right. So last night on After Hours, those of you who were listening heard from Fire Chief Bill, who was, not arrested, but was detained in a local jail here in Honolulu. And as I said on the show last night, I immediately after the show went out to get him out. But when I got there, I didn't find him. I didn't find him there. Apparently somebody had already picked him up, already bailed him out. And ironically enough, the bailsman who was in charge of releasing Fire Chief Bill said that the person that released him looked very much like me, with a long blonde hair and a muscular frame. It's like, okay. But I have heard that Fire Chief Bill did make it back safely to his hotel room, got his clothes, got everything situated. So hopefully Fire Chief Bill has recovered from his, adventure last night here in Honolulu, Paragon. I hope so, but that is the story, and I haven't had a chance to talk with Bill as of yet. But I will try. I'm still endeavoring to see how he's doing. All right, Paragon, we got a few minutes left here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the tag division, because the RAWF tag division right now is absolutely on fire. Not just in the competition itself, but the amount of people who are actually coming to RAWF to specifically compete in the RAWF tag team division. Just recently, several people came to RAWF wanting to be in the tag team division. We have this team of the Crippler and the Crippler and Lethal Laura. The Wolf came in to join up with Dr. Kent. Mrs. Sassy Intentions joined and is joining the tag team division as well. So it's definitely getting to be one of the most notable tag team divisions in all of Unstoppable. And I know you are extremely fond of the tag team division, Paragon. Anything you'd like to talk about as far as the tag team division and what tag teams what kind of competition we have in the division?
You know, it's a full-on Field of Dreams situation. If you build it, they will come. And that's what the RAWF tag team division has done over the past several years. We have built the best tag team division in the world. It's been vaunted not just on our own radio shows, but outside of the RAWF sphere. People have been talking about how great this division is, the level of competition, the personalities, the actual amount of effort that has to go into winning these tag team championships to even getting a title shot at these tag team championships is off the chain. It is competition on a different level as far as tag team divisions go in all of Unstoppable. And I think that a lot of that has to be not just attributed to our stellar roster that continues to grow, but it is our recent Hall of Famer, Unstoppabot's tireless efforts to make this division incredibly efficient, run the best that it could possibly be run, very fair and balanced in a way that is nobody has any type of favoritism behavior. Nobody is above the law. The rules are hard and cold and direct. Everybody is on the same playing field, and you have to be able to be absolute best in order to win these belts. And I think that the world broad has really started to pick up on that. They're starting to see that people are coming here. And with in mind that maybe the RAWF World Tag Team Championship is the belt to hold, even above the RAWF World Championship.
I mean, there's no doubt about it, and especially considering, I hate to admit it, but Swords and Scimitars have had a hand in building this division up over the last year, a couple of years, because not only have they been tag team champions for most of that time, they make sure everyone knows they're tag team champions, and they don't just say it here in RAWF, they go out in the unstoppable world and proclaim it just about everywhere they go. But besides them, and then there's you and Knox, Dungeons and Dragons, there's a lot of great tag teams that a lot of them, if I were to look at them and they were in a lesser company, an indie company, I'd say, well, those guys are tag team champions in that company. They have to be. But that's not going to be the case in RAWF. Let's discuss just a couple random tag teams and get your take on them. We got Devils Rising, which is Kayla the Governess and Kane the Governor, who, as singles wrestlers here in RAWF, they've both been very successful. I would think together, knowing each other so well, this would be a very successful tag team in Devils Rising. Do you see them ever possibly getting into the upper echelon and winning those RAWF tag team titles?
I absolutely could, because not only are they talented singles wrestlers, but one of the key aspects of tag team wrestling, the things that make a great tag team successful, is coordination. You have to be able to be on the same page as your partner at all times. There are very few connections or bonds closer than that of Kayla and Kane. These two definitely know what each other are thinking. They'll be able to strategize together. They're going to be able to coordinate on a level that most tag teams simply will not be able to.
Agreed. And another team that's kind of like that and also extremely talented is Hotness Overload, which is, of course, Mrs. Brew Menzino, a.k.a. the Brunette Strangler, and Menzino. Those two have been tag team champions in other companies. I know that much for a fact. But, you know, the competition here in RAWF, do you see them possibly somewhere down the road getting an opportunity at the RAWF tag team titles?
They've got a lot of the exact same benefits that I've just given to Kayla and Kane. And absolutely, once again, you've got to – I'm probably going to say this for every tag team, because that is how good this division is. There's a degree of parity in this division that surpasses any other company. You look at a team like Hotness Overload and you see two very talented individuals that have all of the credentials to work together like a finely tuned machine, and – with the quality competition in this division and the fact that we have so many teams that could be the top team, there is no such thing as resting. There's no days off in the tag team division. That's why you can see somebody like Swords and Scimitars, who have carried that flag for the better part of the last year. They're consistently going out there and also earning that number one spot in their tag team rankings. They're not taking any rest, as you could do as the champion, as is your right as the champion, to kind of take it easy during the season. Swords and Scimitars will not do that, because they know they have to keep things sharp, because any team could be creeping up behind them just on the horizon.
Probably one of we just got a new team in. Two people just signed in the last couple of days. I'm not very familiar with, but that's what's great about the tag division, is it's drawing these people in that I'm not very familiar with. Talk to me. Do you know anything about the Crippler and Lethal Bora, a.k.a. Vicious and Delicious?
I I know the Crippler a little bit. I actually, Lethal Laura is a bit of a question mark. I think I've seen her around, but I don't know if I've had that many matches. Crippler, he's one of those guys. I don't know if I would necessarily call him a huge star, but he's a veteran that has consistently remained around for years and has always been in the mix with some of the best talent in the world. I think that he's got a wealth of information behind him and absolutely could use that type of knowledge to guide himself and his tag team partner, Lethal Laura, to success. You know, sometimes a lot of these veteran wrestlers, they'll have a long-standing career, not doing a whole lot, and then one night, just like overnight, everything clicks. The experience that you have, the things that you've learned over your long journey of a career, suddenly it all comes together and you're able to fire on a completely new cylinder. Crippler's a prime candidate for that kind of thing.
Indeed, and we will see what happens with the next season in the RAWF Tag Team Division. I have been told that we have at least 26 teams going into this division, going into this season, which is one of the high. I don't think it's a record at this point, but I do believe it's one of the higher numbers that we've had, and it is getting to be a happening, that RAWF Tag Team Division. So, folks, and it's not easy because I basically have to win the whole thing to get a shot at the tag team championships. Only one team gets that shot every season. So you have to be on your game. And just like in RAWF singles matches, you have to talk as well as walk the walk. All right. Well, Paragon, I want to thank you once again for joining me this evening. Very, very much. I very much appreciate it. This show would have been a lot shorter had it not been for you. And I don't mean that as that sounds bad, but I know, I think you know what I mean. It was a lot more entertaining with you here. I don't know that I could have been entertaining all by myself. So, with that being said, any final thoughts real quick? We have 2.5 minutes before we sign off. Any final thoughts?
As a wrestling nerd, I've got to say that I love being able to talk about this. I'm glad that whenever you invite me on, and Tropical Aggression is exactly the kind of show that has me geeking out as a fan as well as a competitor. Good luck to everybody tonight. It's primed to be a great show.
All right, folks, just a reminder, we will not have an RAWF After Hours next Saturday night. We're going to take the weekend off. There will be a Superstars on Sunday, but we will return on August 20th, where I will defend the After Hours Championship. If you want a shot at that title, be here and be in the chat making some noise. For the Paragon of Greatness, I am Lord Amadeus. This has been RAWF Tropical Aggression on the RAWF Radio Network. We will catch you all in a couple of weeks. Paragon, good luck to you, and have a good... Y'all have a great summer. Continue to have a great summer. Good night, folks. Say it, Paragon. I know what you want to.
And as always, you stay classy, San Diego.
Good night, everybody.